Well, I hope that when you're done this morning, that if you're a really good father, you'll become a perfect one, and that if you're not that good, you're going to become really good. Right, guys? Amen. That's what we're all going to shoot for. It'll be done in about 20 minutes. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Guys down the front going, yeah, man. It's not going to happen. We're going to launch you. We hope we challenge you and launch you. So I hope you're going to look, not be afraid to look at the gaps and mistakes, but also grip hold of God's grace really strong. Everybody ready for that? Everybody ready for that? Yeah, all right, amen. All right, so I'm going to ask them to douse the lights for a second here so I can just do a little demonstration. I'm the chemistry teacher, have been for years. So I have a bottle here, and I'm going to do something here. Wait a minute. So we're going to light this, see what happens. Okay. Oh, nothing. That's because I forgot the key ingredient. Wait a minute, let me see if I can do the key ingredient here. I think I got it. Hold on, we need a key ingredient. Let's try that again. See, I needed the key ingredient. Dads are a key ingredient. They light things up. You got to remember that this morning. I had a truck. I had a 1986 Ford Ranger. There's a picture coming up on the screen. And then that Ranger, and this is the closest I can get to it, that's an F-150. But I had an 86 Ford Ranger. It was a turbo diesel, 2.4 liter turbo diesel engine, four cylinder. And it's when you started this little Ranger, it sounded like an 18-wheeler. I loved it. It was great. And I had it jacked up on tires. In fact, the tires were bigger than that. It looked a lot like that. But when I put the tires on at Pep Boys, they took them off. They said, it doesn't fit the fender wells. They said, give it back to me. So I put the tires on, and I just took a hammer and pounded the fender wells wider. It was really great. I just pounded and curved the metal back, and it just sat up on the thing, and I loved it. But I did several things to keep it going, and one of the things that happened was that the fuel pump went bad on it. Now, trying to find a Mitsubishi 2.4-liter turbo diesel engine and finding the fuel pump was almost impossible. In fact, they had to eventually throw the car because I couldn't find the part. It was irreplaceable. I couldn't hardly find any place I could rebuild the part. Dads are key ingredients. Dads are almost irreplaceable. That's what I want you to remember this morning. A quote. This is a quote my son gave me as a dad a few years ago. And I put it up on my wall. It says, Dad, courageous, nightmare slayer, wise sage, protector, Santa, counselor, friend. I look at that and I go, I don't know if I can do all that. This past Sunday, Bones quoted, he said that dads are the heroes to their sons and the first love of their daughters. Wow. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will. Want to run this morning? I don't want this job. But to help facilitate this, we're going to do a panel for about 10 minutes. So I'm going to ask three guys to come up. Paul Cleven, who has two daughters and two sons. I think they're all pretty much grown. Okay? I also asked Tim Harvey to come up. He has a daughter and two sons. And I've asked David Finch, who has two boys and two girls. And we're going to ask them a few questions this morning. I'm going to step right up here. Maybe I'll just stay down here and you guys get to climb up there. And I don't have to. So we're going to ask them a little bit of sage advice. So the first question. Take your time, fellas. We've only got 10 minutes. Take your time. Anybody need a little help?
You know better than to give me a mic, Jimmy.
That's good. So I've asked them just to reach back in their memory and what they're doing now. So let me just ask the first question. Describe your fathering. I like the word fathering better than fatherhood because it's active. It's a verb. Describe your fathering in terms of strengths, weaknesses, planning, and relationships. Go, Mr. Finch.
Let's see. My dad was awesome. He was physically very strong, the opposite of me. His strengths were he was incredibly brilliant. He was an excellent planner. I would say his weaknesses probably were that he could be impatient. My kids can relate to that. Relationship-wise, he pretty much focused on relationship with his wife and his professional relationships.
Paul.
Well, I took it a little differently. I thought you said my fathering. So
I think that's what I was thinking, but it both work. I like that's good, though.
I'd say my strength would be that I encourage my kids to reach for the stars. Aim high. So, you know, aim up here, because if you hit here, you're still aiming high. Aim here, you're going to hit down here. So aim for the stars. Weaknesses, I would say anger, okay. To my shame. And I just want to encourage anybody out there, just don't do it. It's so destructive. It diminishes your influence in their lives. And I've had to go back and ask forgiveness for everybody there in the family. But in terms of planning and relationships, getting other men involved, Christian Service Brigade, those type of things.
Good. Excellent. Tim?
Yeah, I think some of the strengths that God has helped me to build in our family have been in the areas of planning and taking time with our kids and just time as a family. Weaknesses, I think, along the line of what Paul said, for me has been a temptation to get irritated or impatient or sometimes just even out and out angry when things weren't going my way, when people weren't falling in line with my will for the family.
Good. What's one or two things you'd love about being a dad? Go ahead, Tim. We'll just go right down the line.
Yeah, I think just times I've had individually with our kids. Those are just sweet times that stick out in my mind. And now that our kids are older, just having time together as a family, being with them, seeing them interact with each other, as well as with me and their mom.
Yeah, I'd say for me, it's hanging with my kids, just being with them, and just laughing. We just have a great time together, so it's always fun.
I would say the fun and adventure we had as kids. I know a family, we do a lot of games together, so that's a real hoot. And especially now that they're all adults, we have some really sweet times of fellowship.
That's good. So. Great. I love it when they call me Lord Dad. They got a nickname for me. Oh, okay, Lord Dad. They would say to me. Just kidding. What's one of the toughest things? What's one of the toughest things that you have to do being a dad? Go right there.
Toughest moments I had too is, I think, for me, the disrespect and the defiance that I would get, the in-your-face disrespect, was very difficult to handle. But I think many of you know that I lost a child, so I think in terms of a fathering, doing CPR on my son's lifeless body, watching his casket go into the grave, the missing him, and I term it future lost, all the disappointment that came with that. So it was the most painful thing I've ever experienced.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd say disciplining your kids, that for me is one of the toughest things, was having to bring that discipline. You hate doing it, but you also know it's a good thing, and trying to keep that future in mind, that I'm bringing a hard thing into this child's life so they can learn and grow. Right. And then I probably another one, not quite the same, but it is watching a child go through a physically very hard thing. We had a daughter had surgery last year. We've had a son who's had multiple surgeries, and it is hard. Because the whole time I'm there saying, I wish I could take that pain on myself.
Right.
Yeah, hard to pick just one, but I think one of the hardest things as a dad has been just navigating that transition from when they're younger, as they start to go through middle school and high school and into the adult years, and how do you parent them through that transition? Because it looks very different from when they're 8 to when they're 15 to when they're 25.
Right.
And just trying to find a way to navigate those times to transition from being a sort of an authority figure to a coach and a friend, that's been a challenge.
Okay. Well, Mike, what are two or three ingredients that you incorporate constantly in your fathering? Start, Tim.
I think two things that have been a help to me have been, I guess, kind of principles, I'll call them. One is taking time, and the other is asking questions. And those look different, I think, in different families, and they look different at different points in life, but consistently in our family, those have been things that the Lord has used. Taking time is just, well, it's what it sounds like, and it's kind of, it's a devotion to quantity time and not trying to make quality time, because quality time in making memories is what happens by accident when you're having quantity time together. And so for us, that's looked like having family devotions on a regular basis up through when our kids were in high school. We would have that most nights for 15 or 10 or 20 minutes. It looked like individual time that I would take with our kids every week just to go and spend some time with them. And other things too, but taking time, I think, is just irreplaceable and has been a foundation for us. And asking questions, we think of that as dads by way sometimes of interrogating our kids about where were you, what were you doing? But I think it's more than that. It's a tool for helping them learn, and particularly when they're young and you're having reading a Bible study, ask them questions to draw them out. We would try and do that. And also as a way to understand what they're going through in life, just to not to interrogate them for purposes of discipline, but to just understand where they are, to draw them out and appreciate what's going on in their lives and hearts. So asking questions and taking time, I think, Jamie, have been okay. Two things that really God has used in our family.
Any tools that you would add to that, David or Paul?
I'm sorry?
Any tools that you guys would add to taking time and asking questions?
Yeah, I totally echo that. The quantity time versus quality time, that was something that we had heard years and years ago through parenting classes here at the church, and it really stuck. So I'd say one of the tools that we have is it's that passage in Deuteronomy 6. Talk about God's word with them when you're on the road, when you're sitting down, when you're going to bed. And so Elise and I we tried over and over again that every conversation we have with our kids, we're God is coming into that conversation. And so that's one tool I would say is everywhere we could, we tried to bring scripture into it, whether it was discipline or whether it was a good thing. And one of our kids is celebrating a victory. It's like, well, let's give glory to God. Let's talk about what God is doing. When you watch that movie, we recently watched the Lego Batman movie. We loved it. But I told our kids, what was the message in the movie? And if you pay attention, the message in that movie is that family is whatever you want family to be. That family is optional and it can be a choice. And so we had a lengthy conversation about what does God's word say about family? And do you understand that the culture is trying to get a message to you that is contrary to his word? So those things, just talking about his word all the time.
I'd say in terms of key ingredients, I'd say pray, and pray.
Yeah, pray. Okay.
Try and then keep praying. And then encouragement, try to encourage them, and lead by example. I mean, you can't say to them, study your Bible if they don't see you studying your Bible, and you can't tell them to pray if you're not praying. So example is extremely powerful. I'd say the tools, some really good things in here, especially the younger dads, Christian Service Brigade, wonderful opportunity and structure there to help spend time with your kids and do some fun things. Dave Brewer, one of my kids was having a really rebellious time, and I got Dave Brewer. We came in a couple times with him, and Dave kind of read him the Riot Act, and it really turned his attitude several times, which was extremely helpful. Especially when they're around 12 or 13, Passport to Purity with Family Life Ministries, and talk about sexuality. That's really, really helpful, I thought. And then Adventures in Odyssey, especially when they're younger, listen to those stories.
Okay. Good. Only less than a minute to go, but where do you find yourself, or where do you father, other than your own family, in the church or community? Are there contexts in which you employ fathering techniques in the church or in the community? Just give a couple ideas.
Well, we have, like, some of our kids' friends still come over to our house, and we'll have them over for dinner, maybe a game night, just draw them out. Okay. In fact, we had one friend, Matthews. Matthew was in college, and Carlos came over. And so Carlos invited him over for a movie night. So we sat him in the chair. We gave him Matt's, one of his shirts, not his shirts, but, what's the word? Gave him one of Matt's outfits, sat him in the chair, took a picture of him, sent it to Matt. And Matt's response was, get away from my family. But we try to have the kids over.
Yeah, I think, for me, it's fathering in the church is just, or in the community, is reaching out to other young men, making yourself available to meet with them, have coffee with them, even other dads and fathers in the church. I've found myself having a lot of early morning coffees with guys who are just, you know, we all have our issues in our life, and it's good to have somebody you can talk to and relate to. And so that's, you know, it's fathering. I just call it just biblical fellowship.
I think the things I mentioned of taking time and asking questions are things that have been helpful in just other relationships in the church, whether it's counseling with a couple or just an interaction with friends, to be aware of taking time and not being in a rush to get on to my own activities and asking questions instead of just trying to be in a rush to tell them what I think about the matter.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being here. Can we give a round of applause? Thanks so much, fellas. Appreciate your time and your contribution. I've been a teacher for about 30 years, and just want to just talk a little bit about how critical the role of a father is. I just want you to know that in my interactions with students, one of them is to encourage them and direct them. Another is I've taught in the classroom. As head of school, all the discipline comes to me. It's so exciting. In a lot of ways, I father kids. But I want you to know that I'm very aware that dads affect their kids. Now, all kids go through struggles, so we partner with parents at the school. I call parents sometimes and say, I have to talk to you about something. Like, oh no, the principal called. And I'm like, no, we're partnered together. And good dads, we work through everybody's struggles. Everybody has some area they're working on. But I will tell you this, the kids that are like a revolving door in my office are kids that don't have dads that are either stepping up to the plate, being effective, or they're absent or abdicating. I mean, I tell you that truthfully. Remember, just a few years ago, I've had classes go through this school and the other school I was at, and the classes are times I've taken a look at the class and said, okay, I have 8 or 9 boys in this class that are really struggling. And I've looked at their family situation, and it's been to a T, an absentee abdicating dad or an effective dad. I'm not trying to create fear, I'm just trying to trade. There's a gap, folks. And we need dads to step up to that gap. I mean, I have a young man, 3 years ago, his family broke up. His dad was removed from the home, was abusive, and this young man was an AB student. And his grades just took a tank. They just went, they tanked. We're reaching out to him as much as we can, this young man. And he's the ability, yes. Every one of my teachers said he had ability. But he wasn't producing, and he didn't care. A dad in his care group stepped up to this young man in the past year and a half. This young man's different today. It was a slow process, but it grew. And this young man's attitude changed. And he's doing well in his classes now. C's, D's, and F's now are A, 1 C. But it changed because somebody said, I'll fill the gap. I'll be the key ingredient. I'll be the replaceable part. So don't underestimate the role of a dad. Girls too, girls that don't have strong dads are insecure in front of me. I've seen them be insecure. I've seen them look for affection elsewhere. I've seen them be very lack confidence. I've seen them get in very emotional. Dads are shock absorbers. Dads are foundations. Dads produce confidence. Dads fill hearts. Girls that have strong dads are confident. They can tell a boy, are you crazy, boy? Get away from me. I love that, okay? You make a difference. Dads are critical. They make a difference. What's the calling? Let me just talk a little bit about the scriptures. The calling, now that we know that dads are critical, just go to Proverbs, pick any proverb you want. Listen to the first 4 chapters of Proverbs, 1 verse each. Chapter 1. Verse 8, my son, your father's instruction. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure them. Chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching. Chapter 4, hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Verse 3, when I was a son and my father, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me. Hebrews 12, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you reprove him. Then those whom he loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. The Father's heart upon all of us. Ecclesiastes 12:12 by Solomon, my son, beware. Think of David and Solomon. David took time to instruct Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses starting in verse 1. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon, his son, saying, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God. It's a dad instructing. We don't have a chapter in the Bible that says fathers, but it permeates all. Read. You know what's really interesting? In the last chapter of the Old Testament, when God's going to be silent for 430 years, the prophets are silent, it is the last chapter in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. Of all the things that God could have spoke, this is what he said about the spirit of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. It's the last thing he said for 430 years. He could have picked anything. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. One of the radical things that Jesus did, coming into a culture of where the law ruled, and around the law was tradition, and God forbid you'd even break tradition, because the Sadducees and Pharisees would be all of you for breaking tradition, because they didn't want to break the law. And the good thing was that you have a nation built on the law, built on the truth of God, but there was a lot of legalism. And in the midst of that comes Jesus, who prays, Abba, Father. This is the Lord God, Jesus, and he's praying to the Father God, Creator, and the term he uses is Daddy, Abba. Nothing's by mistake in the Scriptures. Your role, there's a call to men in the Scriptures. There's a call to be fathers. It permeates, and it's primary and it's key. Think about the call on your life to be a dad, to be either prepare for one or be doing one or help other dads right now. Fatherhood is critical, and it's God's idea. And he ain't changing his mind. Think about that. I often think, well, you could walk by an oak tree, and every time an oak tree sees you, it could tell you the gospel. God could do anything he wants. But he chose us to be fathers. And he ain't changing his mind. I've made lots of mistakes. When you think about this, you make lots of mistakes. I remember being in my household one time, yelling to everybody, if everybody did just exactly what I said all the time, this place would be perfect. And then I said to myself, did I actually just say that? It's not, and I'm sure you find yourself there. This calling is great. It is not easy. Please don't give up. And it's different. I mean, if you have boys or girls, it's different. My brother, I have a twin brother. He's very good looking, and he's my twin brother. and he has three boys. I have three girls and a boy. He has three boys. So we're standing outside a minivan one day, and the doors open in the minivan, and they're all in the back seat after a Little League game. And he's talking to me, and he turns to his son and says, hey, guys, be quiet. I'm talking to your Uncle Jamie. And so I'm standing there talking, and they're getting rowdy and noisy. So he just takes a baseball glove and just goes bam, bam, bam across the top of their heads in the back seat. And just goes, hey, fellas, I told you to be quiet. No, nobody even whimpered or cried. They just went, oh, okay. I have three girls. I can make them cry in 1 minute. I've gone into Saturday chores and just said, hey, buddy, blah, 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 blah. And they're all, they're crying, literally. Three girls crying. My wife puts her hand very gently on my shoulder and goes, they're not a wrestling team. And I used to coach wrestling for 16 years, and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess you can't just bark at them. If you think this job is tough, you're right. We're gonna fail, we're gonna struggle. So what is fatherhood? What is fatherhood? John Piper says that leading as a husband is at the heart of biblical masculinity, is a desire to provide, protect, and lead women in ways differing according to your relationships, basically. To provide, protect, and to lead. Now, if that's for just your wife, how much more for a whole family? Amen? There's a call to lead, protect, and provide. But fatherhood is more than just food, shelter, and clothing. I've had dads in my office who said, oh, I feed them my clothing, my shelter, and what do you want? A lot more. The next step could be commanding, directing, discipline, administration. Well, I can administrate the household. I can manage it. I can run a calendar. I can run a budget. I can tell people what to do and run a schedule. I can tell people what to do. command and direct them. Is that all there is to fatherhood? Look to the right. Okay, there's a difference between managing a family and raising a generation. Raising is an impartation. I say this to my teachers all the time, and teachers know this. If you teach long enough, you don't impart just what you know. You impart who you are. And I also tell parents this, when I interview with kids coming into the school, we believe in parents. We believe in parents and fathering. You don't have perfect parents, but they're perfectly designed for you. Just like you're perfectly designed to help them become better parents. There's no perfect dads in this room. That's okay. But look at what we can do, what we have. Raising a generation means leading and pastoring, praying for them. When was the last time you prayed for your kids? Just sat down and went to bed and said, Lord, please help my kids. Preparing. What do you mean by that? Observing, watching. Each one of my four children are radically different. What are the doors and windows into their lives? Study them, design customized strategies to approach them and talk to them. To engage, interact, envision, encourage. Listen, draw out, raise questions, build identity, build trust, build mission, build relationships, build your credibility. These are the challenges of fatherhood. So that's what, some of what, and I can't in 15 minutes cover everything about a dad, but that's some of it. It's not just food, shelter, and clothing, it's not just managing, it's raising. What are we trying to do? What are you trying to produce, folks? We're trying to produce disciples of Christ, amen? That's the next step. What are we trying to do? We're trying to produce disciples of Christ, conquerors, warriors, not just soldiers. A soldier will do faithfully what you want him to do. A warrior will go look for a battle. Man, I'm raising warriors, man. Ones that are aggressive and take initiative and see where God's moving and throw in. That's the generation we want to raise, guys. We want to raise a generation that wants to serve. We basically want to replace ourselves, kingpins, catalysts, and caregivers. Isn't that right? Think of what you're trying to produce. It's a big job. We're going to need God, aren't we, guys? Don't do this without God, but that's what we're trying to produce. What about some principles and tools? Okay, let's do a couple of those right now. Some of those I haven't written in front of you, so I'm going to hit a few of these as we go. Principles and tools. These are a few, and I'm going to hit a few of these. This may help. Be an initiator in all things. So let me just say this. Frederick Douglass said this. Frederick Douglass said, I'd rather build strong children than repair broken men. So let's build well. What are some principles? Be an initiator in everything in the household. In discussions, in your Christian walk, in setting the bar and asking forgiveness, in being humble, in caring for and encouraging. Don't just address the gaps in your children. Don't just fix things. Work to build. I don't know about you, but as a dad, I can look quickly at the gaps. And the gaps are like, when are you going to fix that? When are you going to fix that? And I'm like, wait, did I encourage them in anything today? Did I tell them I love them? Did I tell them I just enjoy who they are? Am I building a relationship or am I just fixing gaps? Be the most approachable in the house. Are you the most approachable in the house? Can any of your kids come to see you anytime? Or they go, oh, don't be talking to dad this time. Without coffee, I'm probably not too good. I'm just saying. I don't know about you, but are you approachable at all times? I want to tell you, as you're young, you're busy physically with them. As they get into the teen years, it's a lot of questions and a lot of thinking and talking. And I've had my children in their college years, dad, do you have a few minutes? Yeah. It's 11:45 at night. Yeah, dad, I have a question. Ah, well, sleep when you're dead. Just saying. And those are some of my favorite conversations with my adult kids. Dad, you have a couple minutes? And you just toothpick in your eyes? It's awesome. Be approachable. Set the standard. Here's a few things. I used to do things, sayings in my household. My son got old enough to babysit. I said to him, young man, as you go, the house goes. So if you lose your temper and get impatient and the place falls apart, it's because you did it. So I said, as you go, the house goes. And each one of them waited for that lecture when they're old enough to babysit. As you go, the house goes. I say it to my seniors now at the school. I say, as you go, the school goes. Seniors rule. That's a double-edged sword. There's lots more freedom, but there's a lot more responsibility. As you go, the house goes. I also say this. You are who you are wherever you are, just setting the standard. You represent the Lord, your family, the church, your school. You represent them everywhere you are. Stand for something or you'll fall for anything. I expect the whole truth immediately, not half the truth dragged out. Just standards. Just some examples. What are your standards? Set the standards in your house. Live to be an example. And here's this. Study. Another tool. Study. Watch. Observe. Prepare. Strategize. All these. Pastor. Design questions. Listen. The way I talk to my daughter Katie is not the same way I talk to Liz. Same content, but the way I approach them is different. Very different. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to just some principles real quick here. And you have these, so I hope they serve you. And this is not exhaustive, but I hope it helps. First, if major principles, maintain your own walk with the Lord. You cannot impart what you don't have. If you're impatient, you're stressed, and you're not trusting, it's hard to impart patience and faith and trust. Get some time with the Lord. That's primary. You impart who you are, not just what you know. Second, build these three or four things. These four things. Build trust, build identity, build mission, and build time to wrestle. Trust is key. I've seen parents say, I'm taking your cell phone, I'm gonna give you back in 2 weeks. A kid will dutifully stand there and wait for 2 weeks and go, give me my cell phone. Did their heart change? Because you took the cell phone because they breached some trust. I've told my kids, I'm taking your cell phone, I'll give it back to you when I can trust. I want you to have this. It's a great tool, but the moment it becomes a snare and a trouble for you, it's gonna be mine. I would also tell my kids this, if you don't obey and I don't trust you, your life's gonna get real small and real simple, real fast. And they will always test you. I never bluff. Don't bluff as a dad. And I've said to them, you're standing with me after church, you're not going to the lobby, you're not going anywhere, you're grounded. And they're like, he's not kidding, he really did that. And they know as soon as I can get that phone back to them, if I trust them, I'll do that. How do you build trust? Disclosure. When kids are struggling, they're telling dad and mom, hey, I'm struggling, can you pray for me? When they tell you truth, when they don't have to, that builds fidelity and builds trust. Build trust. Build identity. What is our family about? Who are we? What do we do? Work to build who you are as a family. Build mission. You have to have a purpose in life. Our purpose in our lives, we went to a large summer camp every year at Salvation Army, and we got the kids doing devotions with us and sharing the gospel with us, and we were on a mission. This family's on a mission. The mission supports the mission of the church to be salt and light wherever you are. Build mission into your household and give time to wrestle. Let's take a minute to share. So my daughter has epilepsy, and it's very difficult. When it displayed, it was hard, and she had full grand mal seizures. So every time you have a grand mal seizure, you gotta wait the next, you start counting the next day. How many days between seizures? You hope it keeps going and it's 8 months, 10 months. Well, she had a seizure and then she had another one just about, we got to 2 months and it looked good and weren't gonna have any more and she had one. So I walked by her in the living room. She's sitting on the couch, I said, the next day, how you doing, honey? You know, she gave that good little Christian, I'm fine, Dad. And something just said, stop, Jane. And I said, no, honey, how you doing? And she just looked at me and goes, Dad, honestly, I'm really disappointed. So I sat down with her and said, I'm disappointed too, honey. I'm struggling too. Give them time to wrestle with their faith. Our kids who are well-taught can say what they need to say. Jesus, grace, and I trust the Lord, and no. Take that third and fourth question. Ask, stir them. Be honest. I said to her right away, I'm struggling too, honey. Dad, how do I handle this? Well, the lines have fallen us for pleasant places, so says Psalms. But honey, I know I'm struggling too. Now she's been seizure-free for quite a long time, but at one point in her lives, we didn't know if she ever would be. But you know, guys, we walk together. You got to let them wrestle. If it never becomes their faith unless they wrestle with it. You got to give them room to do that. I remember talking to my daughter about dating, and she didn't agree with me. And I go, we had a two-hour discussion. And she goes, I go, honey, we haven't gotten to the answer yet. We don't agree yet, but my rules still land. She's like, okay. I said, we'll look for another discussion, and I enjoyed it. You gotta let them wrestle, and it's not gonna be theirs. Give them time to wrestle. Last, build a team. Don't do this alone. Some of the best times I've had in growing in my walk with the Lord and in fathering is when a brother's told me, James, quit being a jerk. You're a jerk. I love that. No, you're wrong, James. I'll call brother and say, tell me what I know that I don't wanna remember right now. Done that with Corby. Corby, I'm struggling. Fine. Corby goes, okay, let me ask you some questions. No, Jane, that's a bad attitude. That's wrong. He tells you straight. Get some mighty men around you. Kick your butt when you need it. Get a team. Obstacles. Leaders I know that plan really, really well but don't plan for obstacles, fail. So if you think this is going to be smooth sailing, you're killing me. Okay? You're going to run into obstacles you never thought of at the wrong time when it's inconvenient. Plan for obstacles. Just a few. I'm going to hit a few. And some people think it's the generation that's the obstacle. And there's a quick, can we put the line up of just some of the, just show you some of the generation. These are some of the, go ahead, one more. These are the strength of this generation and the challenges. They're driven, they're multitaskers, they're results-oriented, they're wonderful, but they don't know what time and process means because everything comes to them quickly on the internet. What do you mean it's a process? What do you mean it takes time? This generation needs fathering, but that's not the biggest obstacle, not technology and the culture. You know what the biggest obstacle is? When you look in the mirror, that's the biggest obstacle. It's you. So let's look at a couple of those real quick. Guilt. You feel guilty, you're always, people are going to feel guilty. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One thing I grab hold of my household, when I make mistakes and ask forgiveness, I believe in the redemptive power of God. That I won't make this mistake as bad again, and God will heal it and use it. God uses conflict in a household. I used to think conflict meant I was out of God's will. Sometimes he steps back and lets conflict happen so he can grow. He can grow you. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Iron hitting iron produces sparks. It ain't always easy, and ain't always comfortable. Conflict in your house doesn't mean something's terrible. It just means God working. What's he doing? Have faith. Believe in forgiveness. Gaps. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you, help up, hold you with my righteous right hand. God's going to fill those gaps. Besides this, we had earthly fathers and who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? It just means God's working. Don't worry about the gaps. No man can be perfect in every way. God will fill the gaps. He's for you. Not going. That's just abdicating. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land. If God's going to say to Joshua and inherit the land, how much more our children, who are much more precious than dirt and stone? My righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure. Step forward. Believe God. What about temptations? You're going to face temptations. I'll just hit a couple. Letting it go. That's okay. Sometimes the better part of valor is discretion. Don't enter into a heated argument and push and escalate it more. But don't be passive either. I know dads that just want peace. A 12-hour day, come home, there's problems in the house, I just want peace. That's sometimes wise, but there are times when I'll step into a situation knowing I'm going to escalate it because I have to make a direction and lead and shape hearts and minds. Discernment helps us know when. Usually when in the heat of the battle, it's good to go to peace and everybody seek the Lord, but you've got to follow up. Addressing it later is good if you don't forget. The precious possession of a man is diligence. Lack of study. I just take care of them. I don't really study them. Study your kids. Study your wife. Study your kids. Find the doors and windows into their lives. Liz would come home at 12, 13 years old, and we'd ask the dinner table, how's school? Fine. How's work? It's fine. School work? Good. Fine. I found out that if you take her to McDonald's, hand her a soda and french fries, you can't get her to shut up. It's awesome. I was like, I'm going to try something. I don't know what. I just can't use monosyllabic answers. So I took her to McDonald's and gave her french fries. I was like, enough. Okay. My wife was laughing. Katie, take her to breakfast and get her. It's great. John was growing up struggling. I thought, I got to find something. It ended up being wrestling, but we've gone fishing and hunting. Find an avenue to talk to them. Find the doors and windows in their lives. It will make all the difference. That's not an easy project, but I ain't doing nothing easy today. Worry and fear leads to overreacting. Remember, God fills the gaps. Study, watch, bring faithfulness to it. And in your own strength. I hope these scriptures match. Just a couple scriptures there, doing things in your own strength. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. The words of the wise heard in quietness is better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. That is a personal life one for me, because I'm tempted to shout. I hope those help you. Be proactive. Choose to make a difference. There are no perfect dads. If you're a son here and you've learned something from your dad, thank him. In my Christian family class, I used to make a list with the teenagers of the perfect parent of a teenager. We used to make this long list. They took 3 days. It was wonderful. Oh, they could do this and this. I go, and then at the end, I'd say, look at this list. And they go, yep. Don't you want to have parents like that? Yep. And I'd stop and say this. If you were a parent right now, how good would you be for that list? Get real quiet in my class for a minute. And I said, how about you cut mom and dad a break? Because they're people too. And trust that God's working. Guys, we don't have to be perfect to do this, but we need to be bold, we need to be courageous, and then be proactive. I'd like to mobilize 90% of you right now, even 100%. But if 10% of you were to step forward and step up even more than you are already, and I'm looking in the men in this room, and I know that you're faithful men, but even more, not just in your own home, but in the church and in the community, 10%, you'll change the church and the community. You can't win a wrestling match unless you get on the mat. You can't build muscle. You can talk about lifting, but unless you pick up the bar and lift, you're not going to build muscle. I encourage you, dads are critical. Dads are irreplaceable. There are calling on our lives to do this. God's grace will help us through wise principles and tools. He will also help us overcome obstacles and fight temptation. So let me challenge you. I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you to step up even more. Yeah. Let me pray. Father, bless our discussion now around the table. As men, it is hard to be vulnerable. But Lord, we would ask that we would. And in our humility and vulnerability, Lord, will you pour out grace that you would, we would change and raise the next generation to be warriors for you. Let your will be done. Let your name be honored. Let your kingdom be built. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.